I am Gary Parrish. Welcome back, CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, honor Brandon Davies. Smash that like button. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the Eye on College Basketball podcast, shame on you. Fix that. Please do it wherever you listen to podcasts like Apple and Spotify. Let's get into it. College basketball headline, courtesy of Norlander. Remember, hey, you guys remember that Duke-Michigan game that was supposed to be played at one place? Now it's going to be played at another place. Goodbye, Madison Square Garden. Hello, Loan Depot Park. Norlander, why don't you tell folks why we're playing an awesome college basketball game in a baseball stadium in South Florida 4 days before Christmas?
Yeah, December 21. Good morning, JP. How we doing here today?
Man, I'm great. How are you on this? Thursday? How are you on this Thursday?
Good. I got a fun little side thing with this topic we'll get to later. Josh is well prepared. JP doesn't know it's coming, but we'll have some fun with it. Okay, here's the story. Duke versus Michigan. Part of that three-game Amazon Prime deal that got announced about, 5 weeks ago or so. The problem was that Duke and Michigan agreed to the game and announced it. They didn't actually sign the contracts. We don't need to get all the way into the weeds on the inside baseball stuff on this, pun not intended there. But the Big Ten and Fox particularly, had an issue with the game because of it thought it was going to have the territorial rights. And so after some back and forth in the days that came after that announcement, Duke and Michigan decided that they did not want to bail on the game. John Shire and Dusty May want to play the game. They want to face each other. They, of course, face each other just, all of less than 4 months ago, GP, when Duke and Michigan played in D.C. They want to run it back. They want to do it again and have a big-time non-conference game. If they're going to do that, they have to leave Madison Square Garden because the Big Ten, and it's not just the Big Ten, this is the deal with all of these power conferences, essentially. They have territorial rights, not just schools in their states, but there are select cities like New York City, like Louisville. I think for the Big Ten, Vegas also applies here, where if you play a non-conference game in those cities, then the conference has territorial broadcast rights that would link you to a primary television partner. So they had to get the heck out of there. And they eventually landed on Miami. So naturally, they're going to go play a basketball game inside a Major League Baseball park. Now, the reason why they are going to do this, and you can go read the story at cbssports.com. I give a little bit more detail on the background of all of this. The reason why they're going to do this, which from the outside looking in, of course, does it sound ridiculous? Of course it does. We're taking two preseason top five teams, pulling them out of the world's most famous arena, or the Mecca, as it's called, and saying, you know what? Let's go set up shop and play on the diamond down in South Beach. They're going to go play at the home of the Miami Marlins. The reason for that is when Dusty May was the coach at FAU, the owner of the Marlins is a season ticket holder to FAU. He lives in Boca. He is embedded with the school, and he actually wanted, remember, Dusty took him to the Final Four. He came back for that next season. That following season, when FAU made the tournament again, they tried to get FAU to schedule a high major team at the Marlins baseball park. I think they were trying to get St. John's in that building at one point. Never came to be, but he's obviously maintained contact with Dusty May. And so even before the Duke stuff happened, for the past 2, 3, 4 months, the owner of the Marlins has been working to try and get Michigan, because of his relationship with Dusty May, to just come and play a non-conference game inside his baseball stadium. So they are going to do that. And obviously, the answer to all of this is money. Duke and Michigan not only wanted to play each other, by virtue of doing this with the Amazon deal, with the Marlins Park, I was told this is the way to ensure that these programs get the most money possible. That's why they're doing all of this. So is it absurd? Yes. We are talking about a sport that has played basketball games on baseball diamonds before. We'll get to more of that in just a few. Has played games on aircraft carriers, has played games on military bases. So it had been a minute since we had had this. Great to have it back, I guess. This is going to be on a Monday night. I think it's going to go up against Patriots Chiefs on Monday night.
It's brilliant.
I think that's what happened. I think that's the case. So anyway, that's the short of it, so to speak. Mike's all yours, GP. Thoughts on the change. This is not 100% done, by the way, but I checked in with like four sources here. It's going to get there, barring, as one source told me, like barring something drastic that's unforeseen. This game is moving to Miami, and it's going to be played at, yes, and something that I did not know the name of until, I don't know, 2 weeks ago when I was first told this, Lone Depot Park.
Yeah.
We were just talking about on the last show?
Talking stick.
But mortgage matchup?
Mortgage matchup.
Lone Depot might be even worse. If you're watching on YouTube, by the way, if you're listening, go and find the YouTube version of this, because we got a lot of visuals to show you. There it is, Lone Depot Park, roof open.
Oh, man.
In all of its glory. I would love to see the roof open for this, but I think it's going to be a night game in Florida. My guess is they're going to close that puppy.
So let me make sure I got this right. What you're telling me is that some people working under the umbrella of college athletics,
yeah,
took a good thing and made it worse in the spirit of we can get more money doing it this way.
Hold on. I got a button for that. There you go.
Okay. Yep. I guess that tracks.
That absolutely tracks. In fact, another ding for it. Here we go. Yep, that tracks.
I guess that makes sense. In all seriousness, I obviously understand why this is happening, right? I want to be clear. I hate this as Gary Parrish, all right? But if I were Dusty May or John Shire, I'd probably do the same thing. Like, I understand. Like, money is money. And you need it now more than ever.
Yeah.
So I get it. But I don't have to pretend to like it. Like, here's an exercise for everybody. Unless you're driving, don't do it. Unless you're driving a self-driving car, then cover your eyes if you want to. Don't matter to me, ever. Here's what I'm saying. Close your eyes and imagine the atmosphere for this game at Cameron Indoor. All right, got it? Now close your eyes and imagine the atmosphere for this game at the Chrysler Center. You got that one? Woo! All right, now do the exact same thing, but change the location to a baseball stadium in Florida. I don't think it hits the same. Here's what it feels like to me. I was thinking through this. Yep. Here's what it feels like to me. Let's say we're going to have a 4th of July party. We're going to celebrate.
I'm going to have one. We're having one. We're planning it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're planning one, yeah.
All right, play along then. Let's say you and I are actually going to have a...
Oh, let's do it. By the way, you're invited, Jeep. You want to take the trip up, take the flight up, you and the family.
You know what?
We're going to have all sorts of backyard games. You can see the fireworks from our backyard. You're more than welcome to come.
You know what? I'm going it's under consideration. Yeah. Everything's on the table at this point. So let's say you have an awesome family. Everybody loves your family. Can't wait to see your family. I also have an awesome family. Everybody loves my family. Can't wait to see my family. And what people really would love is if we could get our families together, right? And have a great pool party.
Everyone's clamoring for it, obviously.
Yeah, like we have two of the best families in the country. Follow me here. You and I have two of the best families in the country, and everybody would like to see our awesome families get together for a pool party on July 4th. And we're going to do this pool party. I recognize your backyard is really good. Just play along. You got a really nice backyard, it sounds like. I have the best backyard. My backyard is like the Cameron Indoor Stadium of backyards. Follow me here. By the way, my backyard is nice. It is nice, but it is not the Cameron Indoor backyards. Like, I don't even have the best backyard among my friends. So I don't want this to come across like I'm bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm just making a point. All right. So we're going to get our awesome families together. We're going to do it in my awesome backyard. Everybody is excited.
Crazy.
There is no better place to do this in my backyard. Your backyard would be great. My backyard is the best. We're ready. So then somebody comes to us and they say, hey, this is really exciting. Can't wait to get your families together. But let me ask you this. What if I gave you like $1 million each? Norlander, I gave you $1 million for your family. GP, I gave you $1 million for your family. I want you to have the family in my backyard. I want you to have this party in my backyard.
I'm there.
I want you to have this pool party in my backyard.
I don't want to host that badly.
I want this in my backyard. And so you take a look at their backyard. And it's like you can have a pool party there. You can do it. It's possible. You're capable of having a pool party here. But you know You know, before you even put your pen to paper to agree to this, 100% that the party will not be as good as it would have otherwise been. Won't be as fun, won't seem as cool, won't look as good, won't be as enjoyable. You don't really want to have the party there. Nobody really wants you to have the party there, except for the dude handing out the money to get you to have the party there. Only person that wants it there, nobody else. But it is an easy way for you and I to make a lot of money and take care of our families. So we do it. We sacrifice the best possible party for a lesser party in a lesser backyard because we can make real money doing it that way. Every one of these events that we build feels exactly like that in my mind. They're all still pool parties. And I'd rather have a lesser pool party than like no pool party. Point being, I'd rather have Duke, Michigan anywhere than not at all, I guess. Yeah. But there are at least two obvious places where this would be better. You ready? Durham, North Carolina, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Add to it New York.
Those were never on. Yeah, New York.
I got it. Detroit, yeah. Damn it. Charlotte. There are actually lots of better places to have this specific pool party.
Yes.
But Duke and Michigan can make the most money doing it in a baseball stadium in Florida. So that's where we're going to be on December 21st. It'll be a pool party. I like pool parties, but this could be such a better pool party if we just, you know, had a better backyard to put it in.
Yeah. But you know what? Small part of me is like, you know what? What the hell? Let's just do it. Let's just see what this looks like. Let's see how college basketball hasn't had this in a few seasons. Let's go. Let's just have another absurd backdrop and setting for a game in the middle of the season. Because why the hell wouldn't we do this? Why the hell will we not play a college basketball game at a major league baseball park in Miami, Florida? Oh, gosh. A homecoming game for Caden Boozer, by the way. Homecoming game for Caden Boozer. We're all too thrilled.
And it'll be great for our friends who are actually based in South Florida.
Yes.
We have an office.
I already hit up our editor. I already hit up Marcus. I said, you're covering on site, man. That's all you. He said, I'll be there. I said,
I'm assuming we can send the whole office. The only thing I've ever seen fill that stadium up is like the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, WBC. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Yankees when they're in town. That's about it. I mean, a concert, I assume. But that's
Lone Depot
it.
Park. Aye, aye, aye. Okay. Not the only time that college basketball has been played on a baseball diamond. We've had many instances, in fact. In fact, Josh, you know what? How about a quick word from our partners?
Okay.
And then after this, we're going to run through.
John Shire and Dusty May ain't the only ones that need to make money around here.
That's correct. We're going to run through the previous examples. GP doesn't know what's coming. I'm going to have him react to these scenarios that we've had over the decades in college basketball. But first, here's a quick break.
Sounded like you trying to set me up for a trivia time. Is this a setup for a trivia time?
No trivia times here. You're good to go. We're going to go in reverse chronological order. There might be one or two other instances. And if anyone watching or listening can recall, if there was a college basketball game played at a baseball venue, let us know and we'll correct the errors or add it to the omissions after the fact. The most recent example, Parrish, you have any memory of this happening? November 11th, 2022, Brew City Battle.
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Stanford against Wisconsin. Do you remember this game being played?
I read your story, so I'm aware of the, okay. Because I read your story. But
okay, you so you're familiar. Oh, GP actually read the story all the way to the bottom.
Whoa, I threw the bottom. You know, I think you know the Knicks were down like 13-14 at one point last night. I had a little time to get some reading in.
That's true. 2022, Stanford lost 60-50 to Wisconsin. Now this was put on by Intersport, which is actually the company that's going to help put on the game between Duke and Michigan later this year. So they actually had, and as you're, if you're watching here on YouTube, which we obviously endorse, you can see the general court setup. I was told this will be similar to what we'll actually see later this year. 2022 regular season game. You got, you know, they got the court going longwise just above home plate, basically in the entire infield. Does it make a lot of sense? No, but nevertheless, if you want the most recent example of one, a college basketball game being played at a baseball park in the regular season, what it will probably look like at, again, Lone Depot Park in Miami, this is it. This is so that's 2022. Prior to that, the Bill Walton, what, basketball festival experience? 2015, San Diego State played the University of San Diego. My favorite part about this, look at that. Look at the stands. You pinch in there if you want. A Ferris wheel behind the stands on the field, in right field. I think this needs to happen in Miami. If you're going to do this, if you're going to be outrageous, you need to be as outrageous. You need to have this kind of level of attraction. The late, great Bill Walton rocking it. By the way, that is a Padre shirt that has been stylized into the Grateful Dead. We wouldn't expect anything less there. And you can tell here, GP, look at this. This game, this was in November of 15, played outside under the sunshine. I'd love for the Duke Michigan game to be roof open, but again, that's going to be late December. I'm guessing that's going to be a nighttime situation. They'll probably close the roof, but it's a gorgeous looking picture. Does it make any sense? No. Bill Walton was involved, so it's completely absolved of anything else. But there you go. San Diego, 2015. What do you think about that setup? That's a pretty sweet looking setup.
I was at the aircraft carrier game off the coast of San Diego when it was North Carolina, Michigan State, President Obama and First Lady Obama were there. And that was a cool, that's one where I can hold two thoughts at the same time. Like, I would always rather these things be in true home road environments, but that was cool to be on the aircraft carrier. It was the same carrier where they buried Osama bin Laden at sea. It was shortly after that. And so I remember talking to, I don't want to mislabel anybody, but
you got some state secrets you need to reveal right now on the show?
No, but I was trying to get them. I was trying to acquire state secrets.
And so they said, that's classified.
Yeah, so I'd walk up to a fella and I'd be like, hey, buddy, thank you for your service. I figure that's always a good place to start, right? So I'm like, hey, buddy, thank you for your service. And they'd nod at you. I get the sense sometimes they're tired of hearing that. And so I said, thank you for your service. And then did one of those. And I said, hey, level with me. Where'd y'all do it? And he just looked at me and I was like, where'd y'all? You know what I'm asking. You know what I'm trying to find out. Where'd it happen? And they did not think I was funny at all.
Nope.
They didn't get a kick out of me at all. So then I just took my seat and watched basketball. It was a neat experience, though. I enjoyed that. That was a cool thing, in part because you had that skyline in the background. Like, it was really, really beautiful. Like, beautiful. But, that's a neat picture. I'll grant you that. It's a neat picture. But I don't need it. I'm not going to protest it, but I don't need it.
The late, great Bill Walton, man. Miss him. And he just, they just decided, what the hell, we're going to do this. He loves San Diego, obviously. But that was in 2015. Prior to that, so we had Wisconsin 2022, San Diego 2015. We had
2001, hon.
Minneapolis Metrodome, Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, hosted many a Final Four. If you look at the top right here, they are taking out the AstroTurf. Duke, of course, won the 2001 national championship there. Also a football stadium was home to the Vikings until the roof caved in. When was that? 2010? When was the roof caving in? That was a major situation there. Now, of course, the Vikings have a beautiful new home. That's where Virginia won the 2019 national championship. And that's an incredible building. My Bears are going to build a building at some point here, and I hope they kind of model it after what the Vikings.
I have oddly been to multiple concerts in the building in Minneapolis.
There you go. There you go. Including, I believe, Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift and Kendrick Lamar.
There you go. There's a wide shot of Minneapolis. Josh, do we have the photo I found on Reddit? This is the 92. Look at this guy. This is the 1992 Final Four. He is holding binoculars, maybe the final row. If you look in, it looks like that might be the hospitality suites behind the stands. It is outrageous that this was the stage for Duke's second national championship. Look at this. Look at these seats. That's incredible. Incredible, Paris. They did this. They actually did this.
I think I'd just stay home.
Yeah, there's this guy's holding binoculars, and no way is the seat worth it. How much do we think that seat went for in 92 in all seriousness? Let's say this is the final four. Let's say it's not the title game, so you're getting two. You're getting the twin bill. You're getting two games. 1992, those seats.
Shit.
I'm going to say that's $25 in 1992.
No, man. The straight was open.
That's an atrocious seat.
The straight was open in 92. That couldn't have cost more than $12.
Okay.
That seat couldn't have cost $12. Between the sight lines and the straight being open, that's probably about a $9 ticket, I think.
I'm going to throw this out there for our listenership. If by any chance someone is listening that either attended or still in their home has access to an actual 1992 Final Four ticket with the face value given where you sat, send it along. Tweet at us, shouts to CBS at gmail.com, however you would like to do
it. Fella. We should get Pablo to find that guy right there.
I hope he's still with us.
I bet he had a pack of Marlboro Reds in his pocket.
Okay.
Don't you think?
It's entirely possible.
Man, there's Marlboro Reds. Back. Hey, man's got Marlboro Reds in his pocket. I know that fella.
The last time Duke played in a baseball stadium. It's going to do so later this year. Duke fans know this all too well. It was, of course, 1999. St. Petersburg. Final Four at the Trop. A one and done. Has not been since. UConn beat.
I don't think anybody who's ever been there has ever gone back.
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
I mean, I think people go there one time and they're like, I'm never coming back to this place.
Including race fans? There are one and
okay. Yeah, that is specifically race fans.
Okay. So unless you're employed by the team Okay. All
right. Yeah.
1999. Not a terrible setup. But in a baseball stadium, nonetheless, St. Petersburg and Tampa and the Rays, they bid out for a Final Four, and damn if they didn't get it. And UConn beat one of the best teams ever to not win a national title. That was the Duke team in 1999. I got a few more for you, GP.
Oh, I can't wait. This is thrilling for me.
I figured you'd appreciate this.
Keep going.
How about 1995? GP, who is that, by the way? 1995. Can you know who that is? One more time? 1995. It's Nas. I'll let you off the hook. All right, look at this. This was the King Dome in Seattle. That's the base. The first of all, I see that picture. You know what comes to mind, GP? RBI Dave, baseball.
Well, of course. I was going to say Dave Kingman, but does that make sense?
Sure, why not? But that picture in particular brings me back to RBI baseball. Dave Kingman, as far as I can remember, Dave Kingman played for the Giants, right?
Did he never played?
I don't think
so. Why am I associating him with Seattle?
Because it's King. I said King Dome.
Okay, then that's clearly what happened.
Seattle King Dome.
Also, Jay Buhner,
there you go. Jay Buhner makes me think of that Seinfeld episode, which Parrish has never watched. You won't get the reference there. Josh, let's see a couple more photos here. This was the baseball stadium, and then they converted it into a Final Four. That's Patrick Ewing, 84 right there, top left, GP. Look at that. It's a great shot. That's the team that you grew up on. Forget the Metro. GP grew up on the Hoyas of the early 80s. Good stuff. Good stuff. By the way, Seattle, by far and away, the best Final Four logos ever. We need some sort of venue that can bring the Final Four back to Seattle, because look at these. There has never been a city / site that has provided better Final Four logos than Seattle. Look how gorgeous those are. Every single one of them. Distinct, creative, the whole thing. Love it. Okay, last one for you. And this one is outrageous. In 1968, no, I don't have a button for that. UCLA played Houston. Lou Alcindor in the game of the century. Look at the setup for this game at the Astrodome in 1968. Look at this. This is what started it all. They said, this is Elvin Hayes. This is Wooden's bro, second greatest coach in UCLA history. Just college basketball entering into its golden era. Let's go play a game at the Astrodome. Look at this seating situation, GP. What the hell's going on here?
It's a pool party, I guess.
This is an all-timer. I got a kick out of it. So anyway, That's the history of college basketball in baseball stadiums. That history will continue anew in December, again, at Lone Depot Park. It doesn't get more terrible than this. Houston beat UCLA, by the way, in that game. One of the biggest regular season games in the history of the sport happened at the Astrodome, and nobody that was a paying spectator was within 70 yards of the court. Find me a more outrageous sports photo from a spectator point of view ever than this. Incredible. I can't believe they did this. Just amazing. That's all I got for you.
All right. So it's Duke and Michigan, December 21st in a baseball stadium in South Florida.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, or maybe not, I don't know, our colleague Isaac Trotter has ranked his preseason top five in both of those conferences, the ACC and the Big Ten. Did the Big Ten a little while ago, ACC in the past couple of days. We'll run through that next. I'll get Norlander's thoughts. What has Trotter got right and wrong? First, another word from our partners. Hey, Norlander, let's start in the ACC. Here's how Trotter's got the top five ranked in this order: Duke, Louisville, Virginia, Miami, North Carolina. What's right? What's wrong? If you're interested, that would also be my top five in the top 25 and one, nice. Just in a slightly different order, but the same five schools.
Well, hold on. What is your top five in order?
Duke, Virginia, Louisville, Miami, North Carolina. He's got it. Duke, Louisville, Virginia. So I've got Louisville second. I've got Virginia second, Louisville third. He's got Louisville second, Virginia third. Everything else would be the same.
First of all, we are early June here. So this is some good fodder for one more segment before we wrap up shop here. I will say that when we get to the ACC tournament in March of 27, one of those five teams will not be one of the five best seeds. It makes sense to stack them that way right now. I would say I would go Duke and Virginia on their own tier. Mm-hmm. I think Virginia's got a really, really good team. I think Virginia might have a case to be really top 10 overall. So Duke and Virginia on one tier. Then I would go Louisville next, but I think I would put Louisville and Miami on the same tier, so tier two in the ACC. And then, Parrish, you take a look at the league. I look around at the ACC next season, and it just feels like a grab bag. All right, new coaches in the league at Carolina, NC State, Syracuse, Boston College, Georgia Tech. You've got a hot seat situation at Notre Dame. You got a hot seat situation at Wake Forest. You've got a hot seat situation at Pitt. I guess UNC would be my five. Something's telling me that Brad Brownell shouldn't be outright dismissed, though. I don't know. Maybe Clemson, Carolina losing Vassar, but I would go Carolina five. But I would put, I know you asked for only five, but I'd go tier one, Duke, Virginia, tier two, Louisville, Miami, tier three, Carolina, Clemson, SMU. And then after that, I got to figure it out. I think that's my overall look on the
ACC. So you would have the same top five in the same order as the top 25 and one. Okay. What's interesting is if you go to Torvik, and by the way, on Virginia, I do have Virginia in the top 10 of the top 25 and one. If you care about those rankings, it's Duke at number two, Virginia at number 10, Louisville at 15, Miami at 21, North Carolina at 24. So I've got North Carolina in the top 25 and one. You and Trotter both have them in the top five of the ACC. So do I. But if you go to Torvik, okay, the order at the in the ACC is Duke, Virginia, yep, Louisville, Miami. So just like the top 25 and one.
Okay.
But then Virginia Tech at number five.
Whoa.
32nd in the country.
Virginia Tech?
Take it up with Torvik.
That's a curveball. Okay.
Here's the other curveball. And I'm not arguing. I'm just North Carolina, according to Torvik, 9th in the ACC, 53rd in the country.
Wow, look at that.
That's where we're off. The humans are just off with that specific computer number.
All right. Pomeroy's aren't public yet. Obviously, they won't be until October. What about Mia? I'm thinking of this now. Let's see what he's got here. If he even has it. Does he have 26? He doesn't have 26, 27. So he doesn't even have the preseason ranking. Oh, no, I guess he does. I think. Unless this is last season. Maybe that's last season. I can't tell what he's got here. He's got Duke, Virginia, Louisville, Miami, Clemson, NC State, SMU, North Carolina. At North Carolina at 53. But this might be last season, so don't... oh, yeah, it says 25, 26. Never mind.
Break that.
Reverse it. I was trying to second reference an offseason ranking. Carolina, did you say ninth at Torvik?
Put it at Torvik, ninth in the ACC, 53rd in the country.
Okay, well, we'll see. First year under Mike Malone, they lost by far their most important player. They're bringing in some international flavor. If they'd been able to keep Dixon around, he's going to go to Arizona. I thought that would have been a pretty key retention piece. They can't. You make a coaching change, this stuff is inevitable. So we'll see. Year one under Carolina. I expect Carolina to be a top 35 team in the country. Outside the top 40 is certainly eyebrow raising.
In the Big Ten, Trotter's got the top five ranked this way. Illinois at number one, mm-hmm. Michigan two, Michigan State three, USC four, Indiana five. The top 25 and one, I've got it slightly different with Michigan at one, Illinois at two, Michigan State at three, USC at four. So we got the same top five scores, top four schools in the Big Ten, Trotter and I do, Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State, USC. It's just we have the top two swapped. At five, he's got Indiana. At five, I have Purdue. But in the top 25 and one, I also have Indiana 22nd, two spots behind Purdue. So I have six Big Ten schools in the top 25 and one. But my top five are in order, Michigan, Illinois, Michigan State, USC, Purdue. Indiana would be six. Where you have that?
I would go Michigan. So one tier to itself, Michigan, Illinois, then Michigan State in that order. Michigan, Illinois, Michigan State. You can make the case for Illinois. In fact, you don't even have to stretch it too far. If you want to build a case around Illinois being the preseason number one team, even like ahead of the likes of Florida, you can build that case. I don't know what the hell they'll fall in my preseason top 101, which I don't have to worry about for another few months. But it wouldn't surprise me if I get to that point and I've got, you know, say Michigan 2 and Illinois 3 or Michigan 3, Illinois 4. They'll probably be right next to each other. Michigan State not that far behind. Going to look to have the nation's leading assist maker in back-to-back years, Jeremy Fears Jr. coming back, obviously, for a final season of college basketball. So those three on a tier. I went UCLA 4 overall with Cronin and then Purdue 5. So I actually took the other team in LA ahead. Maybe I just got to see it come to be with Eric Musselman's group. Rodney Rice coming back off of injury. KJ Lewis inbound from Georgia. Jacob Kofi, quality player coming in, coming back. And I think he's going to emerge as a real player. Elijah Arenas comes back, obviously. But I understand the USC preseason top 25 buzz. Just think I might need to see it first. Musselman's teams have underwhelmed his first two seasons in LA. So I go UCLA 4, Purdue 5. I might even go Nebraska ahead of USC.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that because Nebraska is the one we're off on relative to Torvik. At Torvik, okay. The top five in the Big Ten are Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska, and Ohio State. Nebraska, I had 26 in the top 25 of one. When Kentucky added Milan Momcilovic, I move UK in. That moves everybody below UK down one spot. Yep. In other words, Nebraska got pushed out. But if you expand to the top 25 and one right now, Nebraska would be 27. And I also have Ohio State in the top 30. That's another school that was in there but got pushed out after other schools made moves like maybe North Carolina or Kansas or whatever. So I have Nebraska and Ohio State also in the top 30. I would have eight Big Ten schools in my top 30. At Torvik, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the top 30 as well. But Nebraska's 15th at Torvik. And
damn.
Yeah, 15th. That's the one. Ohio, if you're interested, Illinois is 4th at Torvik. Michigan 6th. Michigan State 7. Nebraska 15. Ohio State 18. Wow. UCLA 21. Indiana 28. Indiana 26. Purdue 27, then USC at 31, and Maryland at 35.
Nebraska's going to bring back Asijan, Sanford, Frager. Mast is gone. Probably need to be given a real consideration for preseason top 20 status. But again, I haven't dove deep on that kind of stuff yet. Big 10 looks fairly stout just in terms of, like, you take a scan of the teams that should be 18 team league. So like top seven in that league, maybe top eight in that league. That looks pretty strong just on first glance, as we're now, the dust is settling. Almost all the portal players that have any sort of relevance and impact, they've all picked their schools. Obviously you've got guys that have arrived on campus now, and now we're beginning, the off season initial programs around the country there. Big 10 should be putting itself in a pretty good spot. And below, like, I think it's gotta be Michigan, Illinois, however you want to put them in order, and Michigan State. Those three those are the top tier.
Yeah,
draw a line, and then everyone else kind of filters in underneath.
I think that's right. Yeah. I don't think it's sensible. I shouldn't say that. You can do whatever you want. But I think most humans would have the same top three teams in the Big Ten in the preseason, just maybe in a slightly different order. We might be arguing Illinois, Michigan at the top, but most humans' top three in the Big Ten is going to be Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State in some order. If you're curious, and not that top 30 is some magic number, it's just like where I drew this line for this exercise, but the Big Ten has eight teams in Torvik's preseason top 30. The SEC also has eight teams in Torvik's preseason top 30. No other conference has more than five. So though it is set up where the Big Ten and the SEC, it should have the most strength at the top. Obviously, the Big 12 will be strong. Houston preseason number three at Torvik, Arizona number five, Kansas 12, Iowa State 18, Texas Tech 25. But those are the only five in the top 30. Again, Big 10's got eight, SEC's got eight, Big 12 and ACC have five each. Everybody else falls below that.
Yeah, we still got July, August, February. We have five more months. We have five more months till the season. We are really getting into the thick of the offseason. It's got some more draft stuff. You know, the draft is all 3 weeks away. But now, after the past 2 months worth of free agency, testing the draft pool, all that stuff, it really feels like we're hitting a little bit of a lull. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're interested in the, again, way too early off-season analysis, we got you covered. Isaac Trotter's doing a good job. Cameron Salerno, David Cobb, they got it all covered there. You can check that out on CBSSports.com, CBS Sports app. They'll cover all the power conferences as well as we get ready to pivot soon enough to some real deal draft talk. And we'll have you covered on the pod there over the next couple of weeks too. GP, I think that's a show.
Let's call it a show. Man, I don't think I do. I got like 20 minutes before I got to start talking again, so I'm good.
That can be a nice and cozy, quick one here on a Thursday. That's more than okay by me.
Man, it's more than okay by me as well. Let's call it a show. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Terry Teagle's a legend. Huck Larnell. More moves. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anyway. Subscribe to podcast, Apple, Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them. That's got to be reflected in the comments, so please do that. And we'll talk to you again real soon. Until then, take care.